The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we have made it to the second hour, and the first one was really great. So love that conversation with Fulke there. Let's move on, because there are a lot of spring games to get to. We've dealt with Georgia. Now let's talk about LSU, a spring game that a lot of people are curious about. Tom Luganville joining us now to help us preview the game. He'll be part of the call tomorrow. Tom, good to see you. Thanks so much for the time. And I know everybody has a different opinion about these games, but what will you be watching for tomorrow?
I'm going to be watching for quarterback play, and then certainly going to be looking and seeing how the new offensive scheme, how the new defensive scheme has been implemented over the course of 14 practices. You know, if you look at these two coordinator hires, Paul, they both have one common denominator. Durante Jones is linked to Dave Aranda. All right. Jake Peets is linked to Joe Brady. Both of those coaches were on that 2019 staff that produced a national championship. And I think, you know, Coach O's trying to reinvigorate that magic, reinvigorate that chemistry. So two new coaching hires, multiple position coaching changes. And I would argue, Paul, that as far as quarterbacks are concerned, as far as the whole room, LSU's got as strong of a quarterback room between Max Johnson, Miles Brennan, TJ Finley, and the freshman Garrett Nussmeier, maybe as anybody in college football. So there's a lot to be excited about under center for LSU.
It's a great room, but I'll spare you the cliche as a former quarterback, there's only one ball, but how do you deal with that?
Right. Well, you know what? You deal with it when you have to deal with it. One thing, and talking with Coach O today and offensive coordinator Jake Peets as we prepare for tomorrow, he said every one of these kids, when it was December, none of them wanted to step into the transfer portal. Keep in mind, you have the guy with the most starts has five starts. You know, TJ Finley, Max Johnson played really well those final two games. Miles Brennan, before he got hurt against Missouri, was playing really, really good football. And again, they're excited about the true freshman. But I don't think any of those quarterbacks feel like, all right, this job's already going in this direction, so I'm going to go in this direction. They've stayed. They've competed. They've been really supportive of one another. And listen, Ed Orgeron, he knows that this thing's going to go into the summer. It's going to go into the fall, just like it did with Joe Burrow leading into the 2019 season. And then, obviously, somebody's going to be disappointed. Maybe two guys get disappointed and they look to play somewhere else. But right now, it is a fantastic problem to have if you're Ed Orgeron and this LSU staff.
And last year, the offense had moments, some really good moments. The defense came on a little bit, but, I mean, there were some really shaky moments, and you already alluded to the D coordinator change. So where, what are you looking for? Not so much tomorrow, because you may not see very much, but as this team gets ready for the fall, they have some big games early on.
I'm looking for a defensive football team that plays fast and doesn't have to think. When you watch LSU last year, you watch them on defense, and you looked at their players, you looked at their body language. They were confused. Guys were unsure. They weren't confident. Didn't feel good about what they were doing each and every week, and it showed. I mean, it was glaring. And Ed Orgeron, and I think Durante Jones, priority number one for their 15 days of spring football was, let's simplify, let's spoon feed the installation, let's not, you know, scoop it with a ladle and throw it all at them at once. Let's get good at a few things, and then we're really good at those things, we'll add some more things. I think this is about teaching, and I think this is about allowing really good athletes with a lot of good depth. Don't kid yourself. LSU's got players, Paul. If they're confident because they know what they're doing and they can play fast because they're not thinking and they're not wondering if they're doing the right thing or the wrong thing, then all of a sudden your talent will begin to blossom. And that's what I'm looking for on Saturday. But I think you're really going to see through the summer months, you'll see a faster, more explosive, more confident defense, because I think they're going to have more confidence in what they're asked to do.
Talking to Tom Luganville, part of the call tomorrow for LSU. If I could get beyond the game for a second, Tom. The SEC West is a pretty crowded place. It's always been, but now Alabama, and here comes A&M. Where does LSU fit into this mix?
I think top to bottom with returning production. Listen, if you're going to prognosticate going into a season, well, you're going to say, all right, well, who's got a returning quarterback that's got some experience? LSU does. Who's got a returning group of significant starts in the offensive line? LSU's got all five. Who's got significant starts in the defensive front seven in the trenches? LSU's got a bunch of it. So I look at some of those ingredients that go into creating a championship football team, and we've all seen the great LSU teams. They all have a common denominator. They're great up front on both sides of the ball, and they've had quality quarterback play. I think you're going to see a bit of that with this football team. So Texas A&M, rebuilding a quarterback in an offense that requires a lot of the quarterback. So maybe there's some speed bumps there. You got Bryce Young and Paul Tyson compete at Alabama. I don't know if Ole Miss is good enough yet on defense, but offensively, I think they're going to be hell on wheels, so they could create some problems. And then, of course, we've got new leadership on the Plains and Auburn. I think LSU will surprise. In my opinion, they are a team that got caught up reading their press clippings in the middle of a pandemic, had some things not go overly well, and they didn't respond as a football team. And they learned a lot of lessons. There's a lot of guys on this team, Paul, that could have left and entered into the NFL draft. Many of them would have been drafted probably, particularly in the offensive line, and they all chose to stay. It gives a chip on their shoulder there. I put them in the mix in the West because I think that their talent base, top to bottom, is going to be very, very competitive overall, not just in the conference, but nationally.
LSU fans, be happy to hear that. Tom, thank you so much. Tom Luganville, part of the call tomorrow for the LSU spring game. We will keep dancing around the South this afternoon, but we'll get right back to your phone calls in a minute at 855-242-7285. A long way to go here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back here on a Friday afternoon in Polo is up next in California. Good afternoon, Polo.
Yes, how are you doing today, Paul?
We are doing great. Hope you are.
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm a first-time caller, and I want to, first and foremost, commend you on a job well done with a Paul Feinbaum show.
Thank you very much. We all appreciate you saying that.
And also, I read your book, and by the way, I have to give my kudos to my ex-son-in-law out there in Shelby County, Alabama. His name is Eric Spiegel, and he's the one that got me hooked on your show.
Well, that's fantastic.
And I've been on your show now. I've been listening to your show, but I've been trying harder than hell to get on the telephone with you, but every time, and it's always busy, and I can understand why.
Well, Paul, I used to live in Shelby County, so I know the area well.
Yeah, and here When I read your book, I really got fascinated by it, and I had a few laughs. I must admit that back then when you were working for a radio station back in 2007, I'm not too sure if I'm allowed to give that radio station's name.
There are no restrictions at all.
Oh, okay. By the way, are you still driving that Maverick car?
No, what you're talking about, my first car, my mom got it for me after I graduated college. It was a powder blue Ford Maverick that I think two different times someone hit me from behind and totaled their car, and I don't think I ever had a scratch.
About the situation with tomorrow, like I know that my ex-in-law is going to be tuned in, and like all the other diehard Alabama fans are going to be tuned in too, and watching the A game tomorrow, the spring game, shall I say. And looking at the quarterbacks and looking at the wide receivers and looking at that loaded backfield that Alabama has, how do you see the offensive line? I know they lost a couple of players, and I'm sure that they're probably going to be working on that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, Polo, I think I'm particularly interested, like everyone, in the quarterback. I believe Bryce Young is going to be the starter. I don't think that's really – there is much in doubt. But you do want to see him play. The one thing I'll warn you about, and we'll ask our guests in a couple of minutes, but I keep hearing today that the team will be a little shorthanded by a number of players. So – It may camouflage. It's not intentional. There's just some reasons why some players won't be in the game, but ultimately, I think it will make it a little more difficult. By the way, how did you get the name Polo?
Oh, it was given to me by my mother. I didn't really like my real name that my father gave me back when I was in kindergarten and going into first grade. It was like, Mom, you could have given me the name Leo instead of, Dad giving me that full name of Leopoldo. I was named after some kind of a king from Spain, I guess.
Sure.
But yet here, I didn't really quite understood what it meant.
Well, Polo, thanks for calling. Call again and appreciate the introduction. Delta is up next in Alabama. Hello, Delta. Delta, you there? I didn't hear Delta, so Delta Dawn, we go to Steve in Louisiana. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
Hey, go right ahead.
I watch your program quite a bit, and I never hear any discussion about naming anything about after Nick Saban. And I grew up loving Bear Bryant, went through all those years, starting out with Joe Namath and Stabler and so on and so forth. But a lot of things are named after Bear Bryant, and rightly so. But when are we going to start naming streets and the stadium after Nick Saban? I think it should be changed to Bryant Saban Stadium instead of Denny. We already have Denny Chimes.
Steve, that's a really interesting question. Let me go back about 11 years, or maybe 10 or 11 years. In the aftermath of the first national championship, they decided to put a statue of Saban up outside Bryant Denny Stadium to honor all the people, all the coaches who have won national championships. And there was some blowback. Now, that was a long time ago. And you heard the argument, you name things, you put statues up of people after they're gone, which I've always resented because, quite frankly, what good does it do then? But I think you've raised an interesting question. I made the same statement you made at one point, and I got a lecture about Denny, who was a former president and a critically important person in Alabama history. You're right. Denny Chimes are pretty important. But I don't know. You see fields named after coaches, Pat Dye Field, Vince Dooley Field, although nobody ever uses that. So I'm not a big I'm not a big advocate of naming a field after someone. We all know when we know the stadium. Now, adding Coach Saban's name to the stadium would be significant. And I don't know if you take Denny's name off or you just simply I mean, Denny Bryant Saban Stadium sounds like a law firm, doesn't it?
Right. I don't care for the field designation either. I just think it should be Bryant Saban Stadium. And Denny still has his honor with the chimes and so forth. And I just think Saban is so great, and I feel sacrilegious in a way because I love Bear Bryant so much, but we have to – something needs to be done. I mean, we used to worry about Saban leaving soon from Alabama, so we couldn't name anything after him maybe. But now it's time. It's due. It's time.
Well, George Denny is a very significant person in Alabama history. He was president for a million years. I am not in a position to tell the Denny family we're done with you. But I will right. tell you, there are, I don't know how many are still alive, but they're because Denny died 65 years ago. But when I said this about 10 years ago, I got an earful from Denny acolytes. So we'll see if you do as well.
Yes, I just want to get the discussion. Like I said, I never hear anyone mention it, but it's very insulting, I think, at this point, that Saban, I mean, the Bear Bryant Museum, his streets, and everything else.
Bryant was pretty important, Steve. I'm not saying Saban isn't, but...
No, I know. I love Bear Bryant. That's how I got started in football. But
you've given us a good question. I wonder, maybe they just rename the city of Tuscaloosa after Saban, Saban City. You see that happen all the time around the world. You name a city after a famous leader. Anyway, I'll leave it to the audience, and I'll leave it to the University of Alabama folks to figure it out. Let's check out Fred, who is in Arkansas. Hey, Fred, good afternoon.
Paul, I called you a couple of weeks ago and mentioned I went to Catholic High, and you almost hung up on me.
Well, I will the next time.
Well, I just want to mention something. I'm a Razorback fan, and last time I checked, we're number one in the nation, and all y'all are talking about is Ole Miss, Mississippi State, which we both swept Mississippi State, took two out of three from Ole Miss on the road. So we're starting to feel a little bit like a stepchild, like we're in the SWC again. And say something about our
Hall. Well, Fred, we had Van Horn on a couple of weeks ago. We've talked about I think we had an Arkansas player. I'm not looking to be dismissive of Arkansas. I know how big that program is and how great it is. So we will get back to them. Okay.
Thank you. We just like a little respect.
You'll get it. Thank you. Only in the SEC. Let's continue with more phone calls here. And Tim is up next. Hey, Tim. Thank you. And good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I am great. Thanks for the call.
I just wanted to start out by saying congratulations to the men's basketball team at Alabama. Great season. Just not used to the basketball program doing that well, and I was pleased to see them do as well as they did and get as far as they've got. And I also wanted to – my father, bless his soul, just passed away last year and was a football coach at Davidson High School here in Mobile.
Right.
Back in the 70s, and he coached Richard Todd, right. And Glenn Yancey and Gene Hines were his coaches then, and they – played Mountain Brook for a state championship and lost to Mountain Brook, and that was in the early 70s.
Well, and, Richard, I know Richard reasonably well, and he was a phenomenal quarterback.
He was. But I just wanted to give a shout-out to my late father, and my father is actually from West Virginia, from Fairmont, West Virginia, 10 minutes away from where Saban grew up.
Well, you know this already, and I'm going to ask you to help me out. But the number of coaches, Hall of Fame coaches from West Virginia, is really unbelievable.
It is. It is very unbelievable. My cousin coaches high school in West Virginia by the name of Mike Skinner. And my dad, growing up, he preached West Virginia. He was a big Mountaineer fan. But I grew up down here in the South, and I've been an Alabama fan. But he instilled Steeler football into me and always used to talk about how he would hitchhike to Three Rivers Stadium growing up.
Well, that that's one of the you mentioned Pittsburgh in Three Rivers. The Pitt-West Virginia rivalry used to be one of the nastiest in the world.
Well, it's been great talking with you, my first-time caller, long-time listener.
Well, Tim, thanks for sharing the story with your dad, and he must have been quite a man and an amazing coach. Thank you so much, and we appreciate it very much. We are going to take a break here. We're busy schedule on a Friday with so many games tomorrow. We're trying to get to as many, if not all of them, as we can, and Joe Tessitore will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are bouncing around the SEC today, and let's get to Tuscaloosa, the big spring game tomorrow on ESPN, and Joe Tessitore, of course, on the call. Joe, thank you. Great to have you back on the program. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Paul. Kirk Herbstreit, Joey Galloway, and I, fresh off of our Coach Saban and Bill O'Brien and Pete Golden meetings. So we've got the latest for you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Well, tell us, and I know some of this is classified NSC material, but what can you tell us about these conversations?
I don't know that we are going to see everybody on the field tomorrow, but I think what you will see will excite you in terms of some of the young talent, some of the early enrollees, and of course, everybody anticipating to have a big outing from Bryce Young, who everybody assumes will be the star quarterback in the coming years. And then you have this loaded defense that has, I'm sure, been hellacious for some of these young offensive players to have to go up against every day of spring. But listen, the big story is, how do you replace, right? So how do you replace the star running back? How do you replace the Heisman Trophy winning wide receiver? How do you replace one of the quarterbacks who had one of the great statistical years in the history of a grand football tradition powerhouse? And the answer is, you keep reloading with more and more five stars. They're ready to show the young guns.
And Joe, we may not see it tomorrow because, yeah, there are plenty of a lot of speculation about people who will and won't play. But I'm curious, and you'll know more tomorrow, but just what have you picked up about this defense? I have people telling me, keep your eyes on the defense. It's going to be a different level than what we've seen in recent years.
Yeah, they're absolutely loaded with edge rushers. I mean, that's the case. So they have depth at defensive backfield, even though you're trying to replace Surtain, who's an all-time great. Josh Jobe will obviously be one of the starting corners. You know, opposite him right now, you'll probably have Jalen Armour Davis, and then Kool-Aid, the five-star incoming recruit, the early enrollee, could hit the field and make a significant. You got tons and tons of capable safeties and star guys there. So they're deep at defensive back. But the key to this defense, and where they are just over the top and beyond what other programs can put on the field, is who's coming off the edge. Because Chris Allen and Will Anderson, and then even the guys backing them up who would be stars elsewhere in this league, this is dynamic edge rushing defense. Christian Harris in the middle. Jalen Moody has had a wonderful spring, showing what he can do with the opportunity he's getting. And then up front, as long as everybody's healthy, they're going to be fine. And you do have some young talent that, you know, will be the next wave of the Quinnen Williams and these types that we've seen through the years that tend to develop. So defensively, they're more than fine. The question marks become, who emerges at receiver? And getting through this spring with patchworked and injured offensive line, how do things gel when you're replacing three stars there?
want to ask you about the coaching staff, because you know, there was this feeling after Sark left. I mean, how do you replace a guy who pretty much called a perfect game or a perfect year? But you know Doug Marrone and certainly you know O'Brien. Yes. from many, many years back. But people are saying you're doing the game. I'm just an observer. That O'Brien's going to be something really special.
Yeah, these are my Northeast guys now coming down here to Tuscaloosa, right, Paul? These are guys that I've known for many, many years. Billy O'Brien, in fact, his wife Colleen went to college with me, and he's one of our New England guys. And Doug Marrone is a Bronx guy. They are tough. They are experienced. They know the game inside and out. As O'Brien said to me about an hour and a half ago, he said, you know, the Alabama offensive system stays. You can come in and make some of your tweaks, but you have to learn the language. And he said, Dougie and I looked at each other a few months ago and said, we feel like we're in our first year of law school, where you're constantly cramming and having to learn this new vernacular. But it was interesting. I was visiting with Chris Owens, who's a dynamic offensive lineman here and will be in the middle of that offensive line. And he said he really appreciates Doug Marrone for a tough guy who's got all the experience in the world and that Bronx background, how he's really mellow, he's really cerebral, he's a teacher. Bill O'Brien, I think, is going to be a really good fit for Bryce Young in developing him to the next level. But I think the groundwork was put in so well in the course of the past year with Sark that you just keep the thing going. You got to replace key pieces, but in terms of the philosophy, the structure, how you're trying to go about your business and what there is to accomplish, it's two veteran guys coming in who I think are going to fit very, very well. The one thing I may look for, Paul, if there's any one tweak, and obviously, you know, with who's not here this year, with Devontae Smith, is I think you're going to see increased production with the tight ends. And I think they have the tight ends to do it. I think Jaleel Billingsley, athletically, can be a freak when you split him out. He can be a matchup nightmare. But Cameron Latu has been one of the breakout stars of this spring. And he's a little bigger. He's more of a guy who can do both. He can be in the passing game. He can also block. But I think Billingsley and Latu being on the field at the same time and having Marrone and O'Brien running this offense here, who come from the NFL background and even in their previous stints in college where they leaned on the tight end, I could see those two tight ends having huge seasons for the Tide.
If I could just lean on you to go back a little bit, because the NFL is a meat grinder. We all know that, but I don't know if people watching and listening appreciate the job that Bill O'Brien did after leaving Belichick to go to Penn State. Many thought he was crazy, but I mean that was a masterpiece, was it not? Under maybe the worst circumstances anyone's ever had to deal with.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, so he was rooted in college football, as you recall. He was at Georgia Tech, and he was at Maryland, and he was at Duke. And then he joins up with the Patriots in 2007, has the great ride there as a wide receiver coach and an offensive assistant. Then the couple years he worked with Brady is in the quarterback room, and then, of course, as the offensive coordinator. When he goes to Penn State, you remember what they're coming off of with the sex scandal and then the limitations, the reductions. And we talk about the transfer rule now. But back then, that was opened up to the Penn State players. So you had to go in there, and things were gutted. Some players were leaving the team. You had to try to keep a roster together. He has two successful years there. There was a very memorable game he had, the four overtime game on ABC, that Matt Millen and I had the opportunity to call, which sort of made a statement of here's who we are, here's our identity, and here's what we can be right away. And then obviously 7 years with Houston. You know, when the meeting ended, I walked away with Bill and I said, boy, oh boy, wasn't that nice just to be able to talk football and talk about the kids and their development? And I think that's when he's at his best, of just being a football coach. And I think a lot of what happened to him at Houston is getting into that meat grinder you describe at the NFL of roster management and player personnel and trades. And there was the power struggle. And then his role as a general manager there. And we know how things went in the course of the past year. And now you've got this very cerebral, erudite offensive coordinator who can simply get back to his core and get back to basics, and that's being a dynamic, smart, Belichickian-type coordinator, and that's what you're going to get as the play caller here at Alabama.
Tomorrow, the spring game on ESPN, Joe, Joey, and Kirk on the call. Joe, it's been too long. Thanks for making time. It's always good to see you.
Always good to see you, and we'll see when we get out of Bryce Young tomorrow afternoon, Paul. I know you'll be watching.
I will, and I think everyone will be. Thanks, Joe Tessitore, joining us, talking about the spring game in Tuscaloosa. We are back. Many, many more guests as we continue here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are back, and let's get back to the calls. We have neglected that for a while. Mike is up next in Kentucky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Hey there.
I want to run something by you. I watched a pre-A-Day game press conference with Nick Saban, and someone kind of asked him who was going to be taking snaps with the ones. And Nick got pretty mad pretty quick about it. He didn't really fly off the handle, but he was obviously irritated by the question. And I'm just wondering, it got me to thinking, do you think that there is a underlying current or faction at Alabama that wants to see Paul Tyson, for obvious reasons, emerge as starting quarterback, Paul?
No, I don't. And I heard the same press conference, and really what Saban was upset about, and we played it here at the beginning, was the assumption by the reporter. And it's just a classic Nick Saban. The reporter was assuming Bryce Young had done this and that. And all Saban said, have you seen him do that? How come? I've seen that with Saban before, and he's not the only coach I've encountered that with, where he's essentially saying, you can ask me a question, but don't make assumptions that you don't know to be true. And he was just,
okay,
that's just, I don't think there is anyone pressuring Nick Saban to do anything. And, I'm not acting naive here, that I'm not clear on and cognizant of where you're coming from, but the Brian era is precious to Alabama. It's sacrosanct.
Oh, obviously.
But nobody, and I mean nobody, will tell Nick Saban who to play or who not to play.
Yeah, that would be kind of foolish, wouldn't it? All right, Paul, I just wanted to get that cleared up because it got me thinking. I'm like, why did he get so irritated so fast? And maybe I just didn't catch the whole conversation.
Well, what Nick Saban doesn't like are assumptions. I'll never forget the first time I went into his office. It was not an interview. He wanted to. He had been there a couple weeks, and I was told that I would be getting this call and three puffs of white smoke. And finally, the call from his henchman. You know, be at his office for lunch. And I'm thinking, hey, Mike, having lunch with Nick Saban, you know, white tablecloths, right? I went in there. This was in 2007. And I went in and, he said, you want to, I walked in. He said, why don't we eat and then we'll talk. I said, okay, sure. And he went to his kitchen and he grabbed two chef salads, and I kid you not, they're the kind you literally either get a drive-through at a fast food restaurant or maybe at a convenience store. And he went in and he said, you like French dressing? I said, whatever, coach. He got his bottle of French dressing out, put it on it, a couple of crackers. I mean, I nibbled at it I had to eat something. And then we sat out and had about an hour talking. And I made one comment to him after this incredibly delectable meal. And I asked him about expectations. I said, what do you, and he just like hammered his fist down. He said, I don't deal in expectations. And he went into this rant, and I'm like going, am I going to get out of this office alive? But he was trying to send a message. If you have a specific, and it was not an interview, but he, I later heard him do that at a press conference. I think he was just trying it out. And yeah, he doesn't deal in speculatives. He doesn't deal in assumptions. He doesn't deal in something that you may have heard somewhere. If you have a specific question, ask it. Otherwise, don't.
I got it. All right, Paul, thanks for that.
Thank you for
enlightening me on that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to get heavy on the culinary delights of Nick Saban. I've had better meals with him since. Well, let's get to the calls. And Bruce is up next in South Carolina. Hey, Bruce.
Yes, sir. Let me get this out because it's going to be kind of complicated.
Okay.
This NIL thing coming on, do you think the conferences should have a independent entity advise the student athletes on what they can do and how they should sign it so they don't get any kind of trouble with either the NCAA or the IRS or anything like that?
Well, Bruce, yeah, you're going to need to have a lot of guidance, but ultimately it's not going to be a conference-by-conference decision. This is either going to be an individual state decision or a unilateral decision by Congress, and the NCAA is pushing Congress to do it so they don't have to deal with Florida and Mississippi and Arkansas and every other state in the union. And ultimately, I think that's the way it will go, and then you'll have to put restrictions in. You'll have to put some teeth into it. You just can't do a nilly-willy, cut your own deal. There has to be some escalators in there and some clauses that allow specifically what the leeway is, whether and whether or not there are caps in the agreements.
Sure, yeah, but what I was thinking is you've got 18 and 19-year-olds getting put in some money for doing something outside of their sport, but you don't want to. Who's going to do the accounting for them so they don't?
Well, Bruce, that is that's the reality. Remember the first time you had a job, and you had to fill out forms and had to pay tax. I mean, I found out I moved to another state not long after I began my career, and in full disclosure, I mean, I was making so little money. I realized about 3 years in that I had never paid state income tax. And I'm not comparing myself to one of these students, but I was not too much dissimilar to age because my mom was doing my tax returns. It took about 3 minutes to do my, and I finally asked a lawyer. I thought I was going to jail. And I asked a lawyer friend of mine, and he called up and it found out that I really didn't have it. I mean, I didn't have any, I didn't know anything because I wasn't making enough money. So they allowed me to amend it, with a couple of forms. So, my point being, these guys are going to be making a lot more money. Some of them will. So they're going to have to be tutored in basic income tax. Yeah.
Well, you started off better than I did. I started off a cucumber shed.
Right. But yeah, I mean, they will have it beaten into their head. I mean, let me assure you, for all these young players who have survived the COVID year, where they had to listen to epidemiologists and doctors and nurses, they will find the conversation on a name, image, and likeness to be a piece of cake. We are heading to a break. We have already talked to Joe Tessitore in Jordan. We had Fulke on from Tennessee. He's back for another year after that terrible injury. We have been very, very busy. We will continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Woody Page, the great ESPN commentator and legendary writer, former University of Tennessee sports editor, he will join us later on. We'll look ahead to the incredibly big weekend in college baseball with Kyle Peterson. And Matt Stinchcomb is next, talking about the Auburn spring game.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.